Okay, it's phone time now with Stephen Quayle, so we'll be back and take your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Stephen Quayle with us, and then off we go with your calls. How's Stan Dale doing these days, Stephen?
He's doing well, and by the way, he's once again able to post his sea surface temperature anomaly maps. They're on my website.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. He was literally cut off by the powers that be because he was getting too close. All the earthquakes that have just happened in the last couple of weeks, he's had them circled on his map. You know, he truly is a gifted and brilliant man. And so soft-spoken. But again, the deal is that he's very concerned about what's going on, and he's very, involved in trying to get the best warning. And by the way, you know, George, I'm getting probably 100 emails. What's the best book? His wife, Holly, wrote the best book on preparations called Dare to Prepare.
Yes.
And it takes that
huge
word. I tell Holly every time I talk to her, I say, the word dare is such a great word in your title. Because a lot of people are asking me, where do they go for information? Well, you know, Stan and Holly have the best book. You can go to StanDeyo.com. It's called Dare to Prepare, and there are people literally buying dozens of them, giving them to their family, their kids, because it tells you everything about food, sanitation, water, everything.
And, you know, they also give you free downloads on their website, Stephen.
Yes, they do.
Of tips and things, and I think that's great.
And by the way, people have asked me, because I no longer broadcast on my own radio show, I gave it up. I am putting up my archives for all my 10 years of radio that were recorded. I've been on for 15, but they're all going up on my website for free.
Why did you give it up, honestly?
Well, I just wanted to, because I think we're so close, George, to the time. And again, there's so much I need to do. You know, I started a ministry for veterans and for single moms with kids, you know. And in the I'd say this, people, I am not kidding when I tell you that we've heard it all. I know that there have been warnings and warnings and warnings, but never has the state of affairs been so dire. And I want to enjoy some time with my daughter. You know, I want to enjoy.
She's still singing, by the way?
Yes, she is. And Stephanie's got and she made the right choice. She's going more into country, okay? And, you know, as a loving dad, I said, get out of that pop world. But she's really doing, I think I like her music now. She's writing her own stuff instead of, you know, singing all the pop tunes that somebody else wants her to. And Tom Danheiser, I said, Tom, she's going into a studio next week to recut. And she's got some, you know, really talented people that are going to remix her songs for her and stuff.
Good for her.
She's done it all on her own, you know. She didn't ask me for help. You know, she rents her studio musicians. She pays for the studio time, and I'm just really happy for her. And I think, you know, as soon as her new CD's out, you'll get it, and I think you'll like it. I like it. It's really
what?
Good.
What? A daughter that doesn't want daddy's help?
Yep. That's pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, I've got two of them.
Yeah, and but again, you know, hey, that must say something about us that we raised our kids right, you know. But again, the thing that's interesting to me is answering your question. All of the contacts I have, everything and everyone, it doesn't matter if they're generals, doesn't matter if they're police, law enforcement. It may come as a surprise to a lot of people, but there are a lot of law enforcement people that do get what's going on. I'm warning them all, do not allow yourselves to be ordered out of state and be separated from your families. Please, men and women, do not allow that to happen. Same thing for the National Guard. I think that when you see the presence of foreign advisors / and they seem to be ordering your COs around, you know that that's a problem, a real problem.
All right, to the phones we go. Toronto, we start. We'll go to Tom. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, George, for allowing me. And I'm so happy for the first time to ask question in your show.
Sure thing.
And you have a great show. It's been now about 5 months since I started following it. Really good.
Thank you.
My question to Stephen is, if he knows a little bit about Africa, this country is called Eritrea. It's a small country. And came out of Ethiopia, it's been over 17 or 18 years now that United States being called into this country. They send them, like they bring them to a war to their neighbors, and they're accusing them so many things for being trying to reland their own, and they're asking them to ask for aid to get a loan. Does he have any knowledge about this country, why do they keep doing this to this little country in the East Africa?
And this is this called a FAR, right?
No, it's called Eritrea.
Eritrea, okay.
Eritrea.
Well, I'll tell you what, forgive me, the whole thing with Eritrea and all of Africa is Africa is a treasure trove, and I want to share this with you. The plan of the Illuminati has to basically keep the African continent depopulated and go in there and take all of the natural mineral wealth. And unfortunately, Eritrea is right in the middle of all that. So it is global covetousness and it's genocide. Let's face it, Africa has been the test tube of the world for a long time. And I don't say it in a disparaging way. I'm just saying that in an identifiable way. The movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman gives you a very good attitude of what happens to certain African villages.
Okay, yeah, there have been warnings by the United States Department of State for U.S. citizens to, you know, be on guard if they travel to this little country.
Well, yeah, because it's right in the middle of a war zone, okay? Different warlords, you've got, you've got the whole situation in Somalia, and you've got the situation in Ethiopia. You've got, let me share this, the entire African continent is not a stable platform of good feelings and lots of hugs, okay? The fact is that you've got so many conflicts going on, and I forget how many I heard, but I think the last count there are something like 65 to 80 active conflicts in Africa alone. Active.
Jeez.
Different groups warring. So,
and how much is genocide out there?
Well, genocide is absolutely the name of the game. I mean, it has been in Rwanda. It has been in Burundi. It's taking place now. Obviously, there's instances in the Congo. Kenya's got its issue. Kenya. I pronounce it Kenya. Some people pronounce it Kenya. We've got the situation now where it takes a billion shillings to buy an egg in Uganda. What's interesting, have you ever noticed, too, George, that it seems like dictators can be so absolutely cruel and inhuman, and the rest of the world just seems to, you know, close their eyes, especially the United dumping ground called the United Nations. You know, where were they?
They pick and choose.
They pick and choose. Isn't that interesting? Gee, do you think we'll get a fair shake? I don't think so.
Next up, let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina. East of the Rockies is Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I was just telling the guy when I called in, it's no fluke that back in 94, 95, I heard Coast to Coast and heard Bill Cooper's interview. And, I mean, for me...
So he has been a long time ago.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I, of course, back then was working at night, too.
Yeah.
And I had got the book, Behold a Pale Horse. It made perfect sense to me. Even one of my cousins back in, graduated in 91, so it had to be around that time, too, that his daughter came down with this same disease that was in the movie, Outbreak, and he was on a military base down in Myrtle Beach. When he took his daughter onto the base, they already knew exactly what the disease was, you know. And from there, you know, even my cousin had told my uncle that he did work on alien projects and stuff like that. But the main reason why I called in is because when you're talking about the DNA, not being able to alter DNA, you can. Through, like, the Native American shamanism that I do, and I base my medicine wheel out of Peruvian, the Inca shamanism, you do have an etheric DNA. In other words, you're a spirit living in a human body form. So you can alter your DNA by reaching through the etheric, okay?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I would disagree with you, but again, I respectfully disagree with you. I know what you're saying, but that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about every person who has got a, obviously their own DNA profile has a unique, if you will, harmonic structure. That's what basically composes matter or what matter is consisting of. And so, you know, obviously, you can say that, but in what I'm talking about as it relates to the Giants, no way.
Okay, next up we go to Seattle, Washington, west of the Rockies. Annie, it's your turn.
Yeah, hi. I have three quick questions here.
Sure.
Any hope for Christians? Number two, are all aliens evil? And under the circumstances, is self-termination, is that going to mean damnation in Christ's eyes?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm the last one to say it's hopeless. I think that there's amazing hope. And I would say for Christians, the hope lies in the fact that you've got to do your due diligence and find out what the purpose of God is in your life. See, most people, I think, are just like billiard balls on a pool table. They just kind of bounce off life circumstances saying, you know, thank you, God, without ever really comprehending what you're apprehended for. In other words, when you come to Jesus Christ, there's a purpose, there's a plan. God's Word says in the 139th Psalm, He has more numerous than the sand of the sea are His thoughts towards you. Let me deal with suicide. I believe suicide is wrong. I believe, obviously, from a Christian standpoint, God gave the gift of life. It's His to take. And the third, I forget your middle question. I'm sorry.
It's also about aliens.
Aliens.
Are there any good ones?
That the aliens that we are dealing with are evil. The sexual aspect, I wrote a book called Aliens and Fallen Angels, Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. I have yet to see, it didn't matter if it's Nordics, it didn't matter if it's Greys, or didn't matter if it's reptilians, every single instance of abduction that I can basically relate to or that has been recorded has with it the sexual probing. And like I told George before, I don't believe that basically you travel across time and space to stop on planet Earth to have a good time with human beings. It just does not make sense. The alien card, okay, the alien plan is to seduce and deceive mankind. And I believe that's what it is. By the way, it's my contention that when the giants die, their spirits became the demons upon the earth. And through all the genetic experimentation throughout recorded history and prehistory, that they've always had a way to embody their spirits in something, whether it was an animal-human hybrid or whatever.
Okay, and those of you who call in and then you just ask your question and hang up, we are on a delay, so chances are you'll hear your question. You'll hear you when you go back to your radio, just so you don't panic. Let's go to Commerce City, Colorado. Monique, first-time caller. Hi, Monique.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
I just have the question when you were talking about the aliens, the giants, I'm sorry, that you said that their fatness, the government's going to fatten us up so that they can eat us.
Yes, ma'am.
But at the same time, then, why does it seem that the government's trying to kill us?
Well, good question. The point is that they plan to reproduce, if you will. It's like the old Time Machine movie. Do you remember the Time Machine movie about the Morlocks who came up out of the ground and ate the Eloi?
It's the one with Rod Taylor, I believe.
Yeah, that great movie. The bottom line is that they plan to kill off what represents humankind, and they're going to bring on the alien hybrid of which they believe they will control the destiny. In other words, they're the ultimate slave masters for a global race of genetically altered its, and you and I must disappear however and by whatever means they have determined. You know, George, they plan to kill 5.5 billion people. The Bible says they won't get that much, but they'll get pretty much 2 billion.
Well, they want to get us down to 300 million. I've always heard that number.
Yep. That's by their, you know, we make those statements, and then people say, well, I don't believe it. Well, go look at these statements on Google, or go to my website. I just posted an entire article with over 100 statements on it.
On the face of it, having this one world government seems nice, doesn't it? It has that romantic look to it where you go out and take care of the planet, and everybody's fed, and everybody is happy. But it's not reality, Stephen.
It's not reality. And isn't it amazing that these people, look, it's really amazing. How come a bunch of old rich guys are telling a bunch of poor old people they got to die? AARP is having a total upheaval in their ranks, okay? Because the deal is that the people that are members of AARP are saying to the leadership, we don't want this new public health bill. And the point is that the leadership saying, we don't care what you think. And the public is saying, we won't join your or stay in your organization. The idea of the globalist, George, is basically us and them and fewer of us and more of them. And they want to divide the planet up into basically their happy hunting ground. Now, they've been promised something by Satan that I don't think most people understand. They're now identifying the longevity genes. They're being able to say they can download your collective subconscious. So as you get old and wear out, you get to just get a new body, and the you gets downloaded in the new body, and guess what? You get a whole new start.
What about the soul, Stephen?
Well, that's the issue. You see, hey, the devil can make a lollipop look good, but underneath it can be, you know, the most poisonous thing in the universe. And so people like that idea. They get to live forever. So the old guys that are the Illuminists, you know, they have the technology. They buy it. They control it. They keep it secret. That's why some of these guys are in their 90s and they still are around. The question is, can Americans or even the world handle the advancement and cloning to the degree it has been achieved? My answer to that right now is no. It's too hard, George, to wrap yourself around some of these concepts where, just like the former head of Skunk Works, he said, if the American people ever found out anything they can imagine, we've already done. Those are the guys that develop all the exotic spacecraft, you know, they'd absolutely go crazy. And so the thing is that, and he also said, we've been beyond the stars. Well, people tell me that, and he says that, and he's the guy that retired from the head of the most top-secret defense aerospace industry manufacturer in the world. Is it possible that maybe, gee, we're all being lied to? I think so.
Let's take a final call for the half hour. We'll go to David in Portland, Texas. How about that? Go ahead, David.
It's great to be on the air with you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a bit of a two-part question. I was wondering, do you think Dr. Michio Kaku's vision of stage one, two, and three civilizations is possibly linked to the New World Order? And second, if so, do you think that if in the right hands, it might possibly be beneficiary towards our civilization and Earth itself? I'll go ahead and take your answers offline. Thank you.
I think I understand the question. Let me share this with you. It seems like those who had the advanced technology ended up destroying themselves. I think it's amazing that something as simple as the knowledge of good and evil versus life, you know, most people will argue over good and evil instead of just living life. And that's the technology. Everything that I know they're searching for that has been basically presented to me over the years, George, by those who know what they're talking about, is always of a weapon or counter-weapon basis. All of it. All of it.
Stephen, what are your plans next? What do you do?
Well, you know, right now I've finished up the script I was working on. I think I told you that. I've got it out to a couple studios. Longwalkers is again, Longwalkers is a special operations name for the live giants, but Longwalkers are not fallen angels. The point is that I would like to pursue that because I think that if I could get it on the screen in the right form, when I say the right form, it is probably the most amazing story in all of history because it encompasses all of history. And so I'm going to focus on that. But, George, I don't think we have that much time, you know. Let me say this. My long term, when I look at long term, I see things escalating to such a degree that it absolutely is troubling to me. Because, again, when you talk about martial law and you talk about all these situations that it looks like someone has engineered to put us under and into, then it's like the lady said, you know, what hope is there? Well, the hope is that you're going to survive and you're going to thrive by basically having the information to not live under that. We've talked about all these things for over 9 years, and now they're not only coming to pass, but they're on us, and people are seeing them
and
now.
We're going to come back and take final calls with you, Stephen. You know, in the old days, they used to sell tapes of Coast to Coast programs for about $25, $30. Now, for just pennies a day, you can sign up for Streamlink and download 1 year's worth of past programs. And that's going to be expanded as well. They just got the system in for the 1 year, and now they're working on year two, and eventually it'll be year three. So we're going to get you back there as far as we can go. Streamlink, part of Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, John Kachuba joins us. He's a certified ghost hunter. Guess what we're going to be talking about? Stephen, at what point in with your life did you start changing? Did you start realizing there's something strange going on here?
Well, I think the point is that I've always not been happy with history, but I'd say this, that it was, I'm 58, okay, and I met Jesus in 1972, but right during that time, I was in art history. I had a major in art history, then I changed. I was in film and television. That's what I did for a lot of years. I was a still photographer, and, you know, that's, but I would say this, the dissatisfaction with even the answers I was getting at a university level just made me say, you know, this does not sound right. And fortunately, there were people, I think, that saw that I was at least looking for the truth, even though I was obviously not living it. The thing that was most profound to me, George, was just a couple of passages in Genesis about in the beginning, because the Genesis 6 thing really got to me early. When I say early, in this fact that it explained history to me, and obviously being a historian and being a having anthropology in the background, I actually was going to be an Egyptologist, but I was too random, you know. And the hieroglyphics with me was like, I'm telling you, I, you know, it was just like learning to type. I probably took it 20 times and dropped it as many. But again, the answer of looking for, you know, really, what is the purpose of life and what is it all about? And quite candidly, the alien thing really played into it, too, because, you know, in the 70s, that was when there was the beginning of a lot of stuff, and Eric Von Däniken's Chariot of the Gods. Mm-hmm. I even read that before I became a Christian, being aware of so much of history, and I felt like Eric Von Däniken did a great job in explaining out of the standard meme and theme. You see, here's the deal. The Illuminati controls all of the true artifacts. It's like people say to me, well, where are all these pictures of the giants of the real, where all this, what would that do to the entire world view, and what will it do to the entire world's view when it's starting not only to be in living color, but it's real? And see, I think that that's the other thing about the disarmament that everyone's got to understand. I believe, George, that if things don't change, we will most likely be under martial law, and the infamous prison camps, of which there are so many, will be occupied with a lot of Americans who wonder how it happened and why it happened. So I'm urging all Americans, literally, to rise up with your voices. Absolutely, we still have freedom of speech. Those of you with financial means, you need to run the ads in the paper. Those of you with financial means need to help others. And that's, you know, again, I would say this, the thing that always bothered me was the fact that so many people became isolated unto themselves, and the loneliness, and loneliness is real. By the emails I'm getting tonight, there are a lot of people that are listening to this show that are just flat out lonely. They're telling me that in emails. Well, I think that, you know, the thing is that society is at war with God, not by necessarily their choice, but by the manipulation of the Luciferians. I'd say that good and evil. Even as a biology student, how would you explain good and evil if everything is chemically determined? So evolution never satisfied my quest for knowledge. Again, having been a researcher for 35 years now, I can say this, that if people will do their homework, and the reason I want people to get the book, Genesis 6 Giants and Aliens and Fallen Angels, those both are available. Aliens and Fallen Angels has probably been used, I would say, by the Lord to really answer questions, because most, you know, I guarantee you, most preachers don't want to talk about aliens.
Of course not.
Most churches don't want to deal with Genesis 6. They'll pass off the excuse that it was just the sons of Seth that married the daughters of Cain that produced giants. I got news for you. People marry cross-culture and cross-everyways, and you don't have 12-foot guys lifting, you know, 4,000 and 8,000 pounds. The relevance and, or, I'm sorry, the presence of an external force teaching man knowledge, the great library of Alexandria, and all the books of Enoch. Enoch is probably the most amazing guy in the Bible, because it said he walked with God and was not. Ancient tradition teaches that he was given all the secrets of the universe. We only have a couple of fragments of the book, but I'd say this, if people would like to get a feel for all of this stuff from an ancient historic perspective, and for the record, the early church fathers, meaning the guys that pretty much were around after Jesus' ascension, they all believe that the idea that the fallen angels had unnatural relations with earth women and produce the men, and that's where all the mythological entities came from.
All right, to the phones we go with Stephen Quayle. We'll pick things up by going to Ojai, California. Joy, it's your turn.
Hi, George.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're fine.
I've been up from the minute you came on tonight. It's very difficult for me to get coast to coast here in the Ojai Valley, but for some weird reason, tonight you came in so loud and clear. And thank God for you, because I feel like a bell of freedom, a bell of truth went out across the country tonight. We've been praying for men like you, too, to stand up and say something. We're having a very important town meeting here on Thursday night. And I'm just praying that, you know, someone like yourselves will speak up and say what's going on. My mother told me this was going to all happen when I was 10 and 11. She was a student of Revelations in the Bible and so forth. And I didn't understand everything she was saying at the time, but tonight Stephen clarified every single thing she ever told me. So I wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because, you know, Stephen, you do begin to feel a little nutsy out here when... you know, with all this information that I've gathered since I was a little girl, it's very hard to, like, talk to people that would prefer to buy things and turn the other way and, you know, consume as opposed to finding out our purpose here on Earth.
How many people don't listen, Stephen? Like she said, she's out there. There's not a lot of people will listen.
Well, I would say the frustration common to everybody that listens to you and listens to me when I was on the air or reads my stuff is those who see are astonished by those who do not see and do not hear. But, you know, God said this. He said his people, meaning God, his people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because it's not presented for them or to them, but because they reject it, okay? So the thing is it's that thing that's so difficult to explain but so present in all our lives. It's free will. People that want to see and want to know the truth, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But he also puts in front of that, you know, people always quote that, "Ye shall know the truth, the truth shall set you free." Well, in America, they sure don't want you to abide in him and have his word abide in you. And see, this is the thing. There's a war going on in the supernatural. It is true. The Luciferians absolutely believe that by the technology of the ancients, they can make war on the God of heaven and overcome him and Jesus. Jesus had a little surprise for him. It's called the empty tomb. And the thing is that, George, it's the same thing. The hope that there's out there in the world is Jesus coming back. The hope is that he is able to save to the uttermost. You see, the thing is, look, I worry like everybody else. I these things bother me so much, and man's inhumanity to man absolutely drives me up a wall, okay? And the thing that is really troubling to me is, like, I have so many friends that are, and I would call them, these are men and women that love their country, love their families. There's good U.S. military intelligence people, good law enforcement officers, but they need to stand up for what's right. And I say this, that you cannot separate justice and true love from God. God is love, but not as represented by what I call the pickpockets and the pulpits, okay? The thing is that I tell people, listen, Jesus is a great shepherd. He leaves the wool on the sheep, and he doesn't eat the mutton, you know? And what I mean by that is, look, we can make a difference. It's like you when you play Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this sense of wanting it to be right and being so furious that it seems that people don't like that. Why is it? Because the contempt that the devil has for God, he takes out on God's image. It's just like a woman who gets mad at her boyfriend and tears up the photograph of her boyfriend. She can't get to him, and obviously we've got a lot of murders that when they do get to him, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this. The image of God is something that the devil hates, and it's in the tradition of the Christian church that when God created mankind, Adam and Eve, now I'm saying separate and apart from the angelic civilizations and all the stuff that preceded the creation of Adam and Eve, that the devil was commanded not to worship man, but to worship God's creation. And guess what? The devil didn't like it. And for the record, even in some of the ancient writings, he said, "I'm not going to worship those monkeys." Well, it's fascinating, isn't it, that there is that much contempt. And even the movies that were made with Christopher Walken and Prophecy and some of these movies, they carry, I would say, the contempt of Lucifer, who became Satan, and people argue that. Read Isaiah 14. The point is that we are dealing now with good and evil, and we're dealing with the potential. Let me tell you one thing that is so troubling to me. There are men in the intelligence field that are running for their lives right now because they've made a stand that they will not take part, and these are their numbers, not mine, the death of 25 to 50 million Americans.
Let's go that's
tragic.
Steve. Shiloh, Illinois. Jim, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, thanks a lot, George. I stayed on, you know, hoping you'd answer, and I'm glad that Steve's on tonight. I do have a statement and a question. I personally have gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, and I have found that, for me personally, I feel way more comfortable being just recently a non-believer in God. I've never believed in the devil because I believe the scare tactic is one way to get people brainwashed, and now I don't believe in God. And I just want to say that and then ask you, is there a particular reason you keep referencing movie sets? I mean, you know, I hate to pin it to you like that, but it really sounds like you're using what is in the basic mainstream intelligence of the fiction to illustrate points, and I feel that is not exactly a good way to do it.
I agree with that. I'm just telling you that, listen, I don't know how many people you've ever talked to in the CIA or in the intelligence community or the military high up, but I'm just telling you point blank, they intentionally leaked this. I say this, that science fiction comes out of historic fact, not the other way around. So your argument is kind of circularly working against you.
All right, let's time for a couple more calls, and that is it. Linda in Ontario. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi, George.
Hi.
And Stephen. George, I want to say thank you for stay and watch in the year 2012 when it happens. Thank you. A lot of us are so happy you're on. I want to ask Stephen about the two witnesses that they talk about in Revelation. They're supposed to come for 3.5 years and reveal a lot of things, truths. Supposed to put families back together, and is this supposed to happen before the return of Christ?
Yes,
I'll listen off the air.
The two witnesses are to be here concurrent with the reign of Antichrist. They have the power to shut up the heavens. They have the power that Elijah had. I'm of the persuasion that the only two men in history that have not died are both Enoch and Elijah. There are some people that believe it'll be Elijah and Moses returning, but the two witnesses will be basically telling the world this is not the Christ. The Antichrist, by the way, doesn't mean someone who is opposed. Anti means in place of. So the answer to your question is they will be here. When you see the Antichrist announcing himself as God, and I believe that has to come after a false world war, which is in the setting up right now, for him to come on the scene as a man of peace, that's when the two witnesses will be effectively announced to the world. I believe they're already here. The Antichrist is already here. They are all having their respective actions and reactions, and I think that it will play out in the very near future. This situation with Russia is ready, no pun intended, to go ballistic.
Okay, next up we go to Diane in Bolingbrook, Illinois, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Diane.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Hello, Stephen. I sure applaud both of you. And as far as I'm concerned, you are the two that announce to the world what is really, truly going on.
Well, we are sticking our necks out there, aren't we?
Both of you are. And I'm just glad that Stephen has enough nerve to stand up and talk about the Book of Revelations and everything that is coming to pass.
I think more people, Stephen, are beginning to listen to you.
Well, I would say so. I mean, I've had people, and I'll try and be tactful here, but I've had a lot of people that have said, you know, something in front of you that's not thank, you know, and some of them are now saying thank you instead of the other word in front of you, okay? I mean, people that used to just get crazy. But see, George, when we talk about things that are going to happen in the future, until they actually experience the future, they can dismiss it. And they can basically poo-poo it, and basically they'll attack the messenger, as you know. they'll resort to ad hominem attacks. But when it's all coming down and when it's in everyone's face or on their front plate, then they have to deal with it. Look, I have, you know, you've interviewed Gerald Celente, you've interviewed all of the guys that are out there. Nouriel Roubini, I would assume you've had him on too, have you not?
No, I don't think
so. But you have had Gerald Celente.
Oh, all the time, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, brilliant man. I love the man. I don't know him, but I because again, when you tell the truth, when it's proven to be correct, then that's when people, you know, one minute they're calling you an SOB, and then after it comes to pass, then it's like original information to them.
Then you're a hero.
And they're patting themselves on the back, and they say, oh, yeah, thank you. It's not about the Thanksgiving. It's that men might come to the truth. And so this is, first of all, a spiritual war. It's taking place in the physical realm. It's taking place in the spiritual realm. People have got to understand that they have to stand up, especially law enforcement, especially the military, especially those of you in the intelligence agency. Don't end up like Roland Carnaby. Roland Carnaby was a very high-ranking intelligence official, and he was murdered in Houston.
Can we win this battle?
We win, yeah, because, listen, Jesus does win. And the good news is, and when people say, how do you keep saying? I say, it's easy. I pray. Does God answer your prayers? Absolutely. Does God love you? Absolutely. Will God love me? You know, one of the questions people ask me all the time is, well, I mean, you don't know what I've done. I said, listen, I can guarantee you I was worse than you are, and God loves me. See, the Bible says that God is willing that none should perish, and he really doesn't force anybody. See, that's the point.
Well, you are indeed a spiritual person, Steve.
People need to realize that in these days that are going to be so perilous and so troubling to the point Jesus said there's never been a time like it, nor would be again, they're going to have an inner strength, and they're going to have to depend on a supernatural implantation of the power of God in their lives.
That's Stephen Quayle. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.